David Lloyd.
Sarah Cox is now settling down on Radio 2, and it's 7 years now since she left the studio just around the corner.
BBC Radio 1.
Sarah Cox.
Just looking at the lovely pictures on Newsbeat, thank you very much, on their website.
It's gorgeous. Sarah, it's like the best years. Of Sarah through the years of Radio 1.
Oh, it was a lot of bad hairdos.
It's you on your first day. I think you got a scrunchie in your hair and a bunch of flowers and a bottle of champagne in your hand.
I'm really short how long I've been here because scrunchies are back now.
Yeah,
I've gone the whole cyclical thing of fashion.
There's you meeting the Queen as well.
I know. I keep thinking, God, there's been so many amazing things.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to
write a book, babe.
It's all going in the book.
Good.
Although I'd incriminate a lot of people if I wrote a book. If Zoe Ball's listening now, don't worry, I'm not writing a book. Don't worry, sweetheart.
Sarah Cox leaving Radio 1 7 years ago after nearly 15 years at the station. Politics now, and this week, 45 years ago, Jimmy Young had a special guest on Radio 2 when the new leader of the opposition chose to make her debut broadcast in that role on his programme.
Margaret, I've got quite a lot of reaction while you've been on from listeners. I just wonder if I could fire some of them
yes,
at you.
Yes, let's listen to what they have to say.
Mrs. Rengeli from Angmering-on-Sea says, is there any way that Mrs. Thatcher can stop the Labour government from going through with a referendum on the common market? She says, I really don't think that the general public know enough about this issue to be able to vote on it themselves. That's Mrs. Rengeli of Angmering.
I think Mrs. Rengeli has taken a point which has often been put to me. People say, look, we send you to Parliament to decide on these major things, and we really shall not have enough information on which to decide. But the Labour government, I think, is committed to this, and there's no way of stopping a bill unless some of their own people would vote against it.
Mrs. T with JY on R2 this week in 1975. She was seemingly against a referendum, judging by that. Mrs. T, it was said, rather liked the farming output on Radio 4.
Farmers and other early risers listen to Farming Today. And so does this Prime Minister.
And the first national broadcast of prices for farmers was heard on the radio this week in 1925. Leading on to much famous farming content over the years, John Green joined the BBC from the Ministry of Agriculture.
When it started in the 30s, it was called For Farmers Only. And when the wartime talk started, I think we called it Farming Today. We were broadcasting technical talks, how to grow potatoes, how to plough up rough grassland.
John Green. Mayo, Simon Mayo, said farewell to Radio 1 this week, 19 years ago.
I've never seen so many people staring through the glass. I don't know who half of you are, to be honest. Where have you all come from? Do you work in this building? That's a fantastic record, that's Blur. And I'm supposed to say something extremely important and of merit. Or a DLT-style rant, which I have absolutely no intention of doing. I put a lot of thought into my last record, which is coming up fairly shortly. One of the reasons I'm not going to do a DLT rant is because I've got nothing to complain about at all. And I'm also still going to be employed by the BBC anyway, so it would be a bit of a stupid thing to diss the BBC. I always thought as a kid that working at Radio 1 was going to be the most fun and the best place for any presenter to work, and I still think that's true.
Simon Mayo and his final show on Radio 1 this week in 2001. As teenagers' record players shook to the sounds of Mud and the Wombles and Mac and Katie Cassoon, BRMB in Birmingham became the first commercial station in England.
Our present tests include music from 5 o'clock in the morning until midnight every day. On VHF, this can be heard in stereo, and most of BRMB Radio's music programmes will be in full stereo.
It's 6 o'clock. Good morning. This is Brian Shepherd with BRMB Sound News. The weather? The morning will be cloudy but dry. Sunny intervals are expected later. Winds will be light and mainly easterly. It's 6 degrees at Aston in Birmingham. The time is now almost 5 minutes past six. Brian Shepherd, BRMB Sound News.
Good morning, my name's Kevin Morrison and I'm pleased to be one of the first to welcome you to BRMB, the new independent radio station in Birmingham. Well, I'm going to be here every morning from now on helping you to start your day the BRMB way, and I hope you're going to make it a habit, because, as our theme will tell you, it's the sound way to spend your day.
People will tune to your radio station for a novelty value because it's new.
But if you don't deliver what they want, then that doesn't matter. They just twiddle the dial and they listen to something else. And I think part of the reason for our success was that I employed people who either had a background in Birmingham or were deeply committed to Birmingham and very rapidly became part of Birmingham. So they became associated with it. You know, you could get away with perhaps making a mistake on the pronunciation of some place in Australia. But if you make a mistake on the pronunciation of Solihull or Edgbaston or any of these places around Birmingham, then, you know, you have made a major mistake and they will not forgive you for it.
B.
John Russell.
R.
Reflecting.
M.
On the early days.
B. Because.
BRMB, born this week in 74. There was a lot of talk around Brexit, whether or not Big Ben might bother striking to mark the moment. Those chimes started to be heard daily on the BBC this week in 1924, after a trial over New Year.
We clambered with the clumsy instrument onto a house roof, across the road from the Houses of Parliament, because we hadn't permission then to go inside. Our bright idea was to let the world hear Big Ben. Our microphone picked up a good deal of traffic noise, but it got the midnight chime good and hearty. Thus we started what has proved the most famous feature of the BBC programmes.
BBC engineer A.G. Dryland. We don't know all these names. We never got to know them back then. Talking on Big Ben, which chimed regularly on the BBC since 1924, apart from during the funerals of Churchill and Thatcher and when they're trying to mend Big Ben itself. Counting down the charts is one of the greatest things a music jock can ever do. Mark Goodyear tried it out for the first time this week, 32 years ago.
Britain's favourite Radio 1.
Good afternoon, this is Mark Goodyear for Bruno Brooks with the UK Top 40. The up-to-the-minute information is just in from Gallup headquarters, making the new Top 40 the world's fastest and most accurate chart. Now you, together with the stars, discover where their records are in Radio 1's official UK chart. Fresh off the computer come the climbers, the new entries, and will Kylie Minogue still be number one?
Mark Goodyear hosting the Top 40 on Radio 1 for the first time this week in 88. He became the regular stand-in and then took over from Bruno in 1990. So, with KFM launching in Stockport this week 30 years ago...
Thanks a lot, because you've really backed us superbly.
Radio beginning in Wales 97 years ago...
The Cardiff station of the British Broadcasting Company.
Mark and Lard beginning a short stint on Radio 1 Breakfast 23 years ago...
Right, and this is from... Well, it doesn't say, actually.
The fader left open at Jazz FM 8 years ago... The death of the highly influential presenter Jack Jackson 42 years ago.
At home, I have a photograph of a young man with red hair, and the inscription underneath reads, "I am genuinely sorry to be leaving you, but I'll come back."
Alistair Cook's final letter from America 16 years ago.
Propped up there against my usual three pillows.
And the death of Steve Hewlett 3 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.